So, today we're going to talk about the end of the European theater. Anybody remind me where the European theater was?
Europe.
God, there we go. Europe, okay? So, we're going to talk about the Pacific tomorrow, but we're going to talk about the European theater. Anybody seen this picture in the background before?
Yeah,
I have.
D-Day.
Yeah, it's D-Day. All right, so we're going to talk about that, and I'll show you a clip about it. Pretty famous picture of going into D-Day.
What is the D-mean?
We'll get there. Okay. So, we had this map up on the board, but this was the height of German control during World War II. So everywhere in gray dark was controlled by the Nazis. So you know, see how far they pushed into Russia here, okay? Got all the way up to Finland, Norway, they didn't want Sweden, but all the way down to here. So pretty huge extent, and this doesn't even include Africa. You can see some of it here, but not even all of it. Because it's a pretty big extent. So, this was the height of Nazi Germany, but of course, it's all going to come down because we know Hitler didn't do so hot. So, Hitler decides to attack Russia. Anybody want to, why Hitler might do that?
Because he wanted all the land for himself.
Want all the land for himself?
Biggest country in the world.
Biggest country in the world?
No.
Possibly. Okay. The weird thing is that Hitler was allies with the Soviet Union at this time.
Oh, he's a traitor.
Okay. They were completely friends. That's what allowed Hitler to get to this extent, is that he didn't have to do anything.
Why attacked them? Because they weren't expecting it.
Weren't expecting it? Well, is it a good idea to attack them?
No.
Why would it be a bad idea?
Because no country's ever been able to invade them.
Well, think about this.
Because it's so cold.
It's a war on two fronts. Not only is he fighting a war in France and in England, now he has to fight one on the other side against Russia. It's the biggest country in the world. And also, what happened last time Germany tried to attack Russia?
They failed.
They lost. Okay? So it's not a good idea. It's a really, really bad idea. However, it works. It works for a while, until they get all the way to one city, okay? And this city is called Stalingrad. Everybody heard of Stalingrad before? Anybody seen the movie called Enemy at the Gates? It's a sniper movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that movie's all about this battle. Okay, it's about a famous Soviet sniper, okay? So here's what happens. This is the turning point of the fighting and the beginning of the end for the Soviets. So here's a little bit of, or beginning of the end for the Nazis. A little video for you. If I had sound. Okay, so I know it's a short video, but it's an important video in the fact that this is the very first time that the Germans ever lost. And they lost 2 million people overall in that one city battle. 2 million people, civilians, Nazis, and Soviets all together. That's crazy. So they're able to extend hugely. Let's go back into that map. Oh, if I was on the right thing. There we go. So here's the map. You can see Russia starts about here. They were able to invade all the way up into here. So they had a huge ability to take over. Okay, Stalingrad, if they would have taken it, that's pretty much the end of the war for the Russians. They really didn't have much less after that. They were able to invade and get to that point, but as we saw with when France invaded, winter sets in, and they can't sustain it. What's up?
Do you think that there was Jews in the Nazi army?
No. Highly unlikely. Or if there was, they were very, very secretive about it. But highly unlikely. But anyways, huge invasion force. So, this is what changes the map for us. So we have them, Hitler tries to invade Russia, doesn't work, but gets to this extent. So now Russia's going to invade from this side. So we now have them pushing in on this side. We have the United States coming up from down here. Anybody remember that? What they called that plan? You guys just did a little work on it. Okay, so they're trying to swing up from Africa and up Italy into Nazi Germany from underneath. All right. Good job remembering your stuff, gang. All right. So, we got the Russians coming in from this way. We have America coming in from this way. And then we're also going to have England and America coming in from this way here as well. And other, of course, other allies. Canada, Australia, other people too.
But no one really cared about them.
Well, they help. So this was called D-Day. So this is the big challenge. They had to get from the UK to France, which is, well, hard because Nazi Germany has France. Hold on a second. So they had to get off the island and get to France. They came up with a lot of secret plans, even setting up, like, fake militaries, like inflatable tanks, inflatable airplanes, dropping dead bodies full of, like, secret codes and stuff like that in the ocean, and so Nazis would find it. So it'd all be fake stuff. So Nazis would think that, oh, they're going to invade here, but they didn't, and all this sort of stuff. So what eventually happens is D-Day. So D-Day stands for Decision Day, the day that they decided to go. Okay. So this is the attack. So they landed all of these people here on Normandy Beach in North France. Okay. So they had the Americans attack at Utah Beach, Americans at Omaha, the British at Gold, Canadians in Juneau, and the British at the Sword. Okay. These are all the code names of the different beachheads that they land. So you can see here, this is where they are in France here. Paris is about there. Okay, so not too far outside of Paris. Alright. Huge, brutal battle. So here's a little video to give you an idea of what it looked like. Anybody seen that movie before?
Yeah.
It's called Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, I have.
Came out quite some time ago. That's the very opening scene of the movie. Kind of gives you an idea what D-Day was like. So literally, a bunch of people in those beach landing craft, where it just has an open door in the front, and the plan was, get out of the boat and run up the hill. And Germany was sitting there with their bunkers, with machine guns, and they saw all those metal cross kind of things. Those are anti-tank barricades, so literally you put them out there and the tank can't drive by because these things are anchored to the ground. So you can't, all you can do is run people up of them, full of barbed wire. That area was not even like Germany's protected area. They didn't think anything was going to happen there. So that's what D-Day's main deal was this huge landing force trying to take this area. You can see huge amount of casualties, like unbelievable amount of casualties, and instantly the doors just flopped open and boom, dead. I mean, like, instantly. Pretty brutal way. I mean, a lot of people drowning and things like that. So let me show you this. This is kind of an animation of what it looks like here. So D-Day happened on June 6, 1944. It's also known as Operation Overlord. So it's the largest amphibious assault in history. So amphibious, of course, from sea to land. Like it says here, it was supposed to take part earlier. However, there was bad weather. This is what happened. There was 156,000 troops in this one mission. 5,000 ships, 50,000 vehicles, 11,000 aircraft, and 13,000 paratroopers. What they did is, as they were doing this, attacking the beach, they dropped in 13,000 people by parachute behind the Germans in efforts to then pinch them together. Okay. And to prevent reinforcements coming and helping the Germans. So it was 50 miles of coastline. So you can see here are the different beaches like we saw. So 22,000 troops here, 34, 24, 21, 28. It's a huge, mostly American attack here, led by our people predominantly. Whoa. There we go. All right, so this is what Omaha Beach looked like. Omaha Beach was the deadliest of all the beaches. So you would have people come off the landing craft and then have to run up across this exposed beach where there's no protection, and then there would be these pillars, pillboxes up there, 100 to 170 feet up a hill. You're unprotected. There's nothing to hide behind. Maybe sand. So each guy would carry 80-pound packs. That's why you saw people drowning. There wasn't a requirement to be able to swim back then, plus swim with 80-pound pack on you. So hedgehogs were those metal beams. There's 12,000 of them. 6,000 landmines were also out there. Okay, and 2,400 casualties at this beach alone in just attacking this. Pretty brutal. I had the lucky pleasure of meeting a gentleman that was here at this. He started as a private when this beach attack happened, which is the lowest rank you can be in the military, and ended up being a second lieutenant by the end of the day, which made him an officer, jumped him about 10 ranks up. The reason why is because everybody in front of him had died. All those people that were his superiors had died before him. So he had automatically moved those ranks because those people had disappeared. Pretty intense situation. So it's a pretty good graphic of what that looks like. And I'm just scrolling down. Hold on a second. And so this is what the Battle of Normandy comes after. So 5 days, they have 326,000 troops, 54,000 vehicles across, and 100,000 tons of supplies. By end of the month, you can see those numbers had jumped dramatically. Here's the Normandy Cemetery. There's 9,000 plus Americans buried in Normandy, France. Over 172 acres. Three of them are Medal of Honor recipients, which is the highest honor this country can give. 41 of them are brothers, sets of brothers. 9,000 plus of these headstones are crosses. 149 of them have the Jewish Star of David. Over a million people visit this beach every year. And over 1,500 names of soldiers are missing or engraved in walls because we don't know where they went. They disappeared. As you can tell, a lot of chaos in that area. Pretty brutal system. All right, Jake, you had a question?
Wasn't Saving Private Ryan based on a true story?
Yes, the movie Saving Private Ryan was based on the true story of sets of brothers. After a couple incidents like this where multiple sets of brothers died in one incident, the U.S. military broke up brothers so they wouldn't be together. That way no family could shoulder the burden too much. Pretty brutal system. It's done very similar to how it's done today. If you have a family member die in the military, someone will show up on your door with a letter from the government apologizing, and that's pretty much it. So imagine a family getting 3-4 of those in one day because all their children died. So that's a pretty brutal situation. So if you have a chance to go see the movie Saving Private Ryan, go see it. It got Best Picture. It's an unbelievably great movie. It's got Matt Damon in it.
I have not seen it before.
Yeah, it's great if you haven't seen it before. All right, so that's how the Allies get into here, into France. So that's how we're getting this huge pinch onto Germany. So we quickly are able to liberate Germany. And the big thing after that is taking France allows us then to start bombing Germany. We could fly planes to Germany then a lot easier and start bombing them and attacking Germany directly. So much so, this is what Berlin looked like towards the end of the war. You can see not a whole lot left. Pretty bombed out. Where's the next one? Streets of Berlin. So, of course, Hitler can't be up on those streets if they're being bombed. So he had this built. This is called the Führer Bunker, or Hitler's Bunker. This was underground in downtown Berlin. Okay, when the Allies got close and when the Russians got close, he went into this thing underground. So you can see it's a pretty large complex. All these different rooms, meeting rooms. Here's the entrance here. He could station military personnel, had all the families of the great people in the Third Reich in there. Okay. So this is where Hitler went when the war got close. And he went there with this woman. This is Hitler's wife. Her name was Eva Braun. Married her towards the very, very end of the war. Kind of weird to think of Hitler as a romantic at any level. But she was around him for most of the war. This is what this bunker looked like. We were able to get into this bunker once the United States got into Berlin. That's kind of an idea of what it looked like. Let me go back to there. In that room at the end of the hallway there is where Hitler killed himself. Hitler, when the Russians got to Berlin first before us, his wife, Eva Braun, took a cyanide capsule to kill herself, and then Hitler also took a cyanide capsule and then shot himself to prevent it from happening. Now, the reason why they did this is the atrocities that the Germans had done to the Russians, brutally murdering millions and millions of people. They were afraid of what they would do to them instead of the Americans. They knew the Americans would be at least, you know, arrest you, put you on trial. The Soviets, they knew they would torture them, murder their families, things like that. All of Hitler's top staff committed suicide and had their children commit suicide. Entire families in his bunker did that. Some of them escaped and escaped out of the country, but the last diehards died in this bunker and were all left there. Outside was this pit, and in this pit it was burning, and they were burning bodies. You know, what has happened is that the Soviets claim that Hitler's body was in here and was being burned in a pit so that nobody could ever find the body and display it. What happened to Benito Mussolini, who was the leader of fascist Italy, is that he was hung, murdered, or executed, murdered by a mob, and then his body was dragged through the streets in Italy. So to, you know, desecrate on him, to show what pathetic he was. Now, soldiers burned Hitler's body, is what the claim was, and the Soviets claim to have had his skull for years. Of, this is Adolf Hitler, we can prove that he's dead. Now, this was all done, like I said, by the Soviets. The Americans were able to come in and investigate and do all this. Now, people have always said, well, what if Hitler didn't die, yada, yada, yada. There was reports for, you know, decades after this that Hitler had escaped, like many Nazis had. But none of it was ever grounded. And the Soviets always claimed that they had Hitler's skull, so that's it. About 6 years ago, the Soviets finally allowed them to test Hitler's skull, to do a DNA test on him. It was not Adolf Hitler. So, now, Adolf Hitler was in his 50s when this happened, I believe, 50s in 1940s. So he is, by of course, long dead, even if he did survive. Now, the chances of him surviving are slim to none. Okay? There's, you know, conspiracy theories out there that people had survived. There's a TV show on the History Channel now called Hunting Hitler about how he could have escaped. And there are people that escaped. A Nazi sub showed up in Argentina full of soldiers. And they could, you know, a lot of people survived in South America that were Nazis. So German subs could get from Germany to Argentina and survive. So it's a possibility. Highly, 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 highly unlikely, though. So Hitler is believed to have died. So I want to show you this. This is the very end of it. So I want to show you, this is a very famous clip. We'll play it again here. This is the Reichstag. This is like the German Capitol building. And it's the famous image of the Nazi logo getting blown up by Americans. You have a question, Peyton? Sure.